Okay, we are now recording.
The chair will call the meeting to order at 6:06 p.m. Ms. Davis, could you call the roll, please?
Sure. David Hellman?
Here.
Aaron Decker?
Here.
Boyd Frederick?
Here.
Angie Montemiro?
Here.
Gabe Newto?
Here.
Anita Johnson? Not here. David Arrington? Not here. Jacob Gensner?
Excused.
And Stephanie Caruvilla?
Excused.
Okay, thank you.
We'll start with citizen comments. Are there any citizens who would like to speak? We have 5 minutes to address the committee. Please state your name and address for the record. Going once, going twice, seeing the deafening silence, citizen comments are closed. Is there a motion to approve the minutes of 6:26:12?
So moved.
Second.
Motion by Supervisor Newto, second by Supervisor Frederick. All in favor?
Aye. Aye.
Chair votes aye. Minutes are approved. Item 4, approval of county executive appointments to the Board of Health as follows. Mark Midori, Maria, I won't even try to pronounce the last name, and Linda Weiss.
Motion taken as a block.
Okay.
Second.
Motion to take.
Are they all reappointments?
Yes, they are all reappointments.
Motion by Supervisor Frederick, second by Supervisor Newto, to take them as a block. Any discussion about that? We'd like to do that. Does anybody vote on the motion?
Yes.
Sure. Yeah.
No. All right, we'll take them as a block.
Okay.
Okay.
Motion to approve.
Would you?
Second.
Our director of health is speaking to us. Oh, we're trying to. Yeah, we gotta do this.
Okay, I'm sorry.
Right, we have the three appointments, and they've all attended on a fairly regular basis, and they've all been stellar appointments to the Board of Health, and we appreciate their contribution.
I'm sorry, you snuck up on me.
That's okay, not a problem. A little different seating arrangement.
Again.
What does fairly regular basis mean?
That they've attended or they've excused themselves for their attendance.
Have any of them excused themselves more than a normal amount of time?
The only person might be Mr. Midori because he's had some health issues. But that's the only individual.
Right. Thank you.
You're welcome.
I noticed, is there a reason why two of these appointments go through 2017 and one goes through 2016? No reason?
Yeah.
Okay.
I don't have any specific reason. Might be just
staggered.
Yeah. Okay. Just because I'm staggered. Thank you.
Okay. Thank you. Motion to approve.
Motion.
Second.
Motion to approve by Supervisor Decker, second by Supervisor Frederick. All in favor?
Aye.
Chair votes aye. They are approved.
Okay, thank you very much.
Thank you. Agenda item 5, Department of Workforce Development, approval of resolution to add 3 economic support specialists to the Division of Workforce Development. Ms. Green, please step forward.
Good evening, committee.
Good evening.
Before I get into the resolution, because some of you are new to this committee, I'd just like to give you a brief historical perspective on how we got to become consortia in the state of Wisconsin. Through the governor's biennial budget last year, and Act 32, we counties in the state of Wisconsin were required to form multi-county consortia. Prior to that time, each county operated independently to handle their caseloads, workloads. Through that budget process and that particular law, it was determined that forming multi-county consortia might be more effective. And so, after the budget was passed, we came before the committee with a resolution to approve Kenosha and Racine to form a partnership that was called Wisconsin's Kenosha Racine Partners, and it was called WKRP for short. We entered into a contract with the state of Wisconsin, and in that contract, it was required that we enter into call centers. Every consortia had to have a call center, meaning they would combine their caseloads, and calls would be responded to through a call center operation. As part of that operation also, it was required that there were performance standards that the consortia had to follow. This was something new. And all of this started in January of 2012. What I gave you is a handout that shows what those performance standards are effective January 2012. And these were, according to the state, that within the call center itself, that any call that came through there, they needed to be answered within 21 minutes. Also, there were processing time frames established for us relative to any new applications that came to us, any expedited food share applications that came to us, and changes that came to us. The processing time frame for new applications was determined to be within 30 calendar days of the date the applications were filed, and any changes that came to us needed to be processed within 10 days. And if those cases were determined expedite, which means that they have no income, they are destitute, expedited food share cases needed to be not processed within 7 days, but the benefits delivered within 7 days of the date of the application. And there are some other performance measures listed on here relative to if we determined that someone had been overpaid, we would recover the overpayment in every program that we're responsible for. And then in addition to that, we have certain payment accuracy rates that we must adhere to, meaning that the state can't find errors in more than a particular percentage of cases. And this year, the standard is 5.5% for most of the cases that we deal with. These standards apply to approximately 90% of the cases, meaning that 90% of the cases that come to us have to meet these standards. And this was something new as of January of 2012. If we don't meet these standards, then first the state will put us on a corrective action plan, and that failing, next there would be financial penalties imposed upon us. And so this was all new with the consortium. I thought I'd just kind of refresh people's memories or inform people who were not aware that this was new with the formation of the consortia. As the consortia were formed, the state provided us with little guidance in terms of how we were to do this. And so every consortia throughout the state, we've been meeting with our counterparts as well as having weekly meetings through phone conversations with the state to try to work through processes and procedures and things like that. Also, as part of the consortia forming, the state was supposed to take on certain activities to take workload away from the counties. They were going to take on burials. They were going to take on training. They were going to take on centralized document processing. They were going to take on quality control, and they were going to take on fair hearings and fraud. But because of their staff issues, the only thing that they had taken over at this point in time, their plan is to continue to take on their pieces that they promised, are burials and the centralized document processing unit. And I'll explain the centralized document processing unit in this way. People who come to us have many choices in terms of how they can make applications or provide information to us. They can come to us face-to-face. They can fax in their information. They can mail in their information. They can phone in their information. They can apply online, which a lot of them do, or they can send their information to a centralized scanner at the state, and those folks are supposed to document that and have it available to workers online within 24 hours. That piece has not worked out quite as the state had intended it to work out, and so we've been having some issues with that. Also, when the consortia were formed across the state, one of the things that was agreed to is that the state had an enrollment services center which handled certain income maintenance cases. And the cases that they handled primarily were cases of single adults without children who were receiving medical assistance or food share benefits. And with the formation of the consortia, the Enrollment Services Center, which we call the ESC, was phased out. It was phased out between November of last year and April of this year. And all the cases that once resided with the Enrollment Services Center were transferred to the counties of residence. And in that transition, Kenosha inherited 4,000 additional cases. And in your packet, item number two is, item number two just shows the caseload fluctuation from January 2010 through July of 2012. And in particular, I'd like for you to note the caseload increase between January 2012 and July 2012, because that's where the bulk of the cases and the workload came to Kenosha, and Racine received even more cases than us. I believe they received about 5,000 additional cases. The chart after the statistical chart is just a visual of what has transpired with the income maintenance caseload over the course of the last 3 years. So you can see this year in particular, we have really increased our caseloads. Our caseloads at this point in time are over 20,400. Racine has something comparable. They've got about 23,000 cases. And currently, as far as staffing levels go, Kenosha has 33 FTEs assigned to do economic support work. There is a division of labor within economic support work in that we have one economic support person who does pre-screening for a particular program, which is called W-2. We have three workers that are assigned to our institutional care cases. Those are the elderly. Of course, we're in nursing homes and that sort of thing. We have two workers who are processing elderly, blind, disabled cases, people who are living in their homes and have issues. We have four workers assigned at our Kenosha County Center. We have one worker who is assigned just for troubleshooting with system issues that occur in our computer processing center. And when you take out those individuals, that leaves about 22 workers that do the rest of the income maintenance work. And the income maintenance work is tremendous in terms of the number of cases that come in on a daily basis, on a weekly basis, on a monthly basis, and like I said before, they come in through many different avenues. When we started this consortia, we've experimented with many different ways to manage the workload. We have assigned staff to do certain functions. We have bumped up the number of people that we actually have in our call center because starting out the gate, I think I said this already, we didn't get a lot of direction. Basically, it was up to each individual consortium to figure out how to manage the workload. And so through some experimentation, we have determined that we need, in the call center itself, we need at least, in Kenosha, 11 workers dedicated just to the call center. In addition to our 11 people, Racine has dedicated, I believe, 12 workers to the call center. And the workers that are left are handling the rest of the workload, which has to do with processing applications, processing changes, processing six-month reports that come in from many different sources. To say it's been a challenge is an understatement, and every consortia has been experiencing the challenges of this new way of doing business. We have regular meetings with the state, and we keep them apprised of some of the challenges that we have with managing the consortia environment. And in Kentosha in particular, we have taken a look at the number of staff that we have and the amount of work that we have and determined that all other things being taken into consideration, and we've attempted to make some changes that would help us manage the workload, that we feel that with the increase in the amount of cases that have come between January and July, that in order to stay on top of the increasing number of cases that are coming in, and these are a combination of all kinds of cases, that it would benefit us to have three additional economic support workers. And we have, let me back up and say that in the Division of Workforce Development, there are many funding streams, one being W-2, one being income maintenance, which is this program, one being WIA, child care, child support. And this pertains particularly to income maintenance. In income maintenance, we received a certain portion of money from the state, and we receive a small portion that is 100% funded, a very small portion that we use up fairly quickly. And then any additional money that we use, there's 50% revenue and 50% levy associated with the work that we do. And this resolution that's before you, asking for three additional workers, if you would approve this, we are planning ahead. We're wanting to add these three new workers effective in September of this year because we don't see the workload decreasing. We see it increasing. And we think that adding three workers to our current staff would help us to manage and maintain the workload, as well as help us with the performance, because we have really been struggling with the performance. We've been struggling in terms of the average speed of answer. It may seem very doable to answer a call within 21 minutes, but as an example, we are able, as management people, to look at the daily stats that come in, and today, just as an example, there were 1,470 calls that came in today. And with that many calls coming on in, even if you have 20 people in the call center fielding calls, there is a certain wait period for people because each individual worker can only pick up, you know, one call at a time. And depending on the nature of what the person is calling for, it takes a length of time for them to get to the whatever issue they're calling about. And so today, as an example, there were, like I said, 1,470 calls that came in total, and the average wait time for those calls today was about 35 minutes. Mondays are unusually high because people wait up over the weekend and they tend to call in all their issues that they have thought about. But we feel that we still need more workers in order to maintain the performance standards. The average speed of answer today, I started saying that the average speed of answer per the performance is 21 minutes. The average speed of answer today, because of the volume, was about 25 minutes. So people were on hold for at least that period of time while folks were trying to resolve questions that people had over the phone. And so if we don't maintain that particular performance standard, I already stated that we would be subject to first a corrective action plan, and if we are not able to maintain or to correct what happens after the state has issued the corrective action plan, then we'd be subject to some penalties, some financial penalties, and if the situation still didn't turn around, then the state would bring their own people into manage the call centers and the workload, and we'd still have to pump in levy to do that. We don't get out of of contributing funding for it. The three positions that we are proposing to add to the Division of Workforce Development in September of this year, the cost would be $50,000. And half of that would be levy. The other half would be through income maintenance. These would be paid with existing levy dollars that we have within the division budget this year. And so I'll open it up to questions.
Yes.
Do you get referrals from the Salvation Army, for example? Just out of curiosity.
We get referrals from everywhere. Yes, Salvation Army is one place that we get referrals from.
Okay, and when you get referrals, this is just my question real quick. So you get referrals and the phone center, I understand that's the rate-limiting step right now to get them where they're going.
Mm-hmm.
But then when they get where they're going, there's certain paperwork and things
right.
they need to do, right?
Mm-hmm.
So is there any way that... I know for a fact that Salvation Army takes care of people that are indigent that just walk in from another state or whatever, and they do a lot of what your division does. Is there, well, what I'm questioning is there any way to make that paperwork done ahead of time? Like if, I know they spend a lot of time at the Salvation Army. Can't they be filling out the same paperwork that you guys are going to?
No. Our work can only be done by... government employees. I hesitate to say county employees, but county or state employees. When you're determining eligibility for programs, which is what we do, there are very specific guidelines that must be followed, and government employees are the only one per the federal government that can do the eligibility determination. And the Salvation Army probably provide some temporary assistance, be it food, be it shelter, and then they eventually refer them over to us so that we can give them some longer-term benefits like food share,
right.
Medical assistance, and that sort of thing.
So they're doing paperwork at the Salvation Army, but it can't be your paperwork to help you guys once they get to you. That's what I'm asking, because they're doing a bunch of paperwork. If it was your papers, it would make the second-line people already have the paperwork done, and then they can process it. And that would give you some extra pair of hands.
No, they can't. They can't do the work that we do, unfortunately. I did put one last document in this sheet of information that you have, and this just shows information from April of 2012. And these are all 20, should be all 10 of the consortia, and it's showing the caseload information as well as the month of April, just the month of April, how many calls came in that particular month, and the percentage of those calls of the caseload that are actually calling. And you can see Kenosha, which is WKRP, Kenosha Racine, they have the second highest volume of calls that are coming in per the caseload. Almost 42% of our caseload is calling in the call center during a particular month for a variety of reasons. And starting out, we only had 15 people in the call center, but we have realized that we need more people in the call center if we're going to meet the performance standards that the state has placed before us. And so that's the reason why I'm here.
Vice Chairman Vicki.
Yes, thank you, Mr. Chair. Ms. King, you have mentioned how many calls you receive on a daily basis, especially Monday being a match call box.
Right.
You also, too, receive foot traffic during that whole interval during Monday through Friday. Correct?
Oh, definitely.
So that also enhances the burden on that program as well.
Right. Yeah, because we've got the call center fielding the calls. We've got the ongoing unit. We've got a division of labor, and they're the ones taking the foot traffic and actually doing the people who come in and drop off information. And so there's stuff is coming from several different places. But yes, that's in addition to the call center stats.
Chairman Dent.
Through the chair. I'm looking at the financial statement, and you're taking it from purchase services. What actually is that line account?
Well, what we're using is that line had levy associated with some of our contracts this year, and we've had through June we've seen some contract savings that was levy associated with that. So So that levy then will be shifted so that we can match our end to see what we can
Okay, so the IM is actually a matching draw.
It's a 50-50. Mm-hmm.
And we're not going to come up later in the year and be short on purchases?
No, because we've already realized that's in the first 6 months.
Okay. I assume the $50,000 is just from September to the end of the year?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. Is that going to, are you going to put that in future budgets?
Yes.
Okay. Do you have any indication to this point how income maintenance is going to be reflected as far as what we're going to get from the state? You talked about state monies.
Mm-hmm.
Do you have any feel for whether those are going to be going up and down, up or down for the next?
My sense is it's going to be the same. That is my sense.
Okay.
We are still in negotiations with the state about how much income maintenance money the consortia all across the state need. There's a meeting this Thursday with county representatives first to put together a plan to present to the state, asking for more money to support income maintenance because of the information that I just provided to you. But that's hopeful. I think it would remain essentially the same, the funding. Yeah, the meeting this Thursday is not the WCA. The WCA is going to put together the position paper and then in August take it to the state. So the counties are putting together their position and giving the state an indication of how much additional money is needed.
Okay. You mentioned a number of 1,470 calls.
Yes, because we are one call center, even though we are in two different locations. Yes.
So Kenosha and Racine have their own call centers? Do we send people up to the state?
We're in two different locations, but there's one phone number, and it's more or less a round robin. Whoever is not on the phone, be they in Kenosha or Racine, they pick up the call and they handle the cases from whether it's a Kenosha person or a Racine person. That was the whole idea, that they would combine their efforts. We would combine our efforts and answer the call. So, yes, that's the total of Kenosha and Racine folks.
Okay, so we each have our own offices, and then whoever the calls just come in.
Sure.
Cycle through that.
Yeah. Ideally, it would be nice to have one call center location, but neither Kenosha nor Racine have a spot or a space big enough to accommodate 20-some people.
Well, we're working out the kinks.
Yeah.
Fine. When did you have the information for this handout?
I'm sorry?
The handout you gave?
When did I have the information? The caseload information, I probably had...
Last minute.
Anybody who knows
questions.
Me is
yeah,
going to know
and
that
I'm saying.
We did mention
in advance.
Your name. I mentioned your name last week, but... We wanted the most up-to-date information for the committee, and that's why we just put handouts will be provided, because we didn't have an offer provided for Thursday.
It is my pet peeve to get mm-hmm. this information prior to so it can be analyzed and questions can
sure.
be brought from it. So
okay.
I understand the last minute. So, all right.
Okay.
And my only last question with monopolizing the time is, WKRP in Cincinnati?
We thought it was kind of cute.
All right.
I have a
question. If the minutes could reflect that Supervisor Johnson has joined us, that would be mm-hmm. spectacular. Supervisor Nudo?
No, you say it's not going to affect the levy for this year.
Mm-hmm.
Any idea on what's going to happen for next year?
We're still looking at that scenario for next year, but it would probably increase the levy. And I'm only guesstimating approximately $100,000, and we are figuring out a way internally within the department to absorb that levy so that we can hopefully meet that 0% levy objective. But we're still taking a look at our budget for 2013, because there's some other things that are going to happen that are going to offset that.
Like in the same department or from different departments?
Within my division in
within
particular.
Your division?
Yeah. A program is going away in my division. And so that's going to impact some of the staffing levels in particular. And not necessarily county, but many contracts are going to be gone in 2013. And without getting into a lot of details, we're taking a look at our 2013 budget. But our goal is to maintain that 0% levy, even adding these three positions.
And my other question is, I believe you said that Kenosha and Racine are kind of working together,
mm-hmm.
whoever can answer the call.
Yes.
How many employees Kenosha has and how many Racine has?
Racine has 43 FTEs and Kenosha has 33 FTEs. And I kind of explained the division of labor. Everybody's not dedicated to the call center or to the ongoing
right.
unit. But yes, Racine has 10 more FTEs than we have. And there's one thing I might add, that the state does caseload, workload analyses, and they've been doing this for some time now. And through their own analysis, they have given each county a figure as to how many FTEs they think would be sufficient to do the work. And by their own workload model, they think Kenosha should have 38 FTEs. They're not going to fund 38 FTEs, but that is what they've determined that we need in order to do the work of income maintenance. Racine is, I believe, right where they need to be, and I'm just doing this off the top of my head. I can find a document that supports this, but yes, we're understaffed.
One last question, which might be a
sure.
stupid question,
no,
but
no.
assuming that this resolution passes now,
mm-hmm.
and then for next year, we're mm-hmm. not going to be able to meet the 0% levy or somehow cover these positions.
Mm-hmm.
Are we going to be able to take them out? Or
ask the question one more time. I just need to
okay.
absorb it.
Right now, assuming that this one will go through,
uh-huh.
and we had the three okay. positions right now.
Mm-hmm.
Then for next year, with the new budget,
okay.
somehow, like you said, probably we can get away with covering the cost of this position
sure.
with other funds.
Mm-hmm.
If we're not going to be able to do that,
mm-hmm.
is that possible to take these three positions out at that time? Or is that going to be?
Okay. I'll say it would be possible to take whatever amount of positions out that would not meet the levy requirement. It may be less than three,
right.
but yes, if we weren't able to meet that objective.
Okay. Thank you.
If we could get the document that you just referenced about the state's model for how many staffing we should have,
mm-hmm.
If that could be included, that would be great. Emailed or preferably put in supervisors' packets
okay.
along with this resolution.
Okay, I can do that.
Supervisor Decker and then Montour.
Okay. You said early in your presentation
mm-hmm.
that the state is supposed to be taking over certain things.
Correct.
Like burials, things like that.
Mm-hmm.
Was that to take the place of the calls that we are getting because they are not doing those calls anymore? It's supposed to kind of swap?
Right. There was a division of labor between the state and the counties that was agreed upon when we went into this consortia. And the state is having staffing issues as well. And in our conversations, every Monday we have a conference call with them. They apologize every single time that they have not been able to meet their objectives, but that adds another burden on the counties, the consortia, because we're continuing to do the work that they have promised to do.
So it was supposed to even out, basically, but because they have
Correct.
Fallen behind, it hasn't evened out, and that's why we need to hire three new people? Is that, would that be a fair assessment?
That's a part of it,
okay.
but the increased workload also is a part of that. The fact that the state hasn't picked up their share of the agreement, that is a part of it. But I'm still saying that with the increase of 4,800 cases between January and July, that would have an impact on needing additional workers too. I'm sorry, go ahead.
When the state is able to do what they said that they were going to be able to do, will that affect our employees' workload, that we may be able to reduce full-time employees because it's evening out? Is this a temporary thing because the state isn't stepping up the way they thought they had were going to be able to, or?
I would say not really. Many of the things that the state, I mention that because the things that the state promised to do are more management functions. Training staff is a management function, and so we, the management team, have not the burden, but the responsibility of training our Racine and Kenosha staff within our consortia. The other thing that they were supposed to do, burials, that was a management responsibility too. The scanning piece, that would be perhaps something that a worker would or could have done. But the state has taken on that piece, albeit they have not turned cases around in the time frame that they promised. Because in order for our workers to do what they need to do, they need to have the information electronically. And because we've got everybody sending information now to this centralized document processing unit, and they are having issues trying to keep up with the volume. When we get calls from people who say, I sent my verification up, what do you mean you don't have it? It adds to our call volume because they have not handled that piece of it as well as it should be handled. And so if they ever get that piece together, the call volume would probably decrease. Let me see what else. QC. That's a management function, too, whereby we're just pulling cases randomly to make sure that, you know, they're processed appropriately. So that one wouldn't have as much of an impact. It would relieve some of the management people of that responsibility. And the same with fair hearings, where if people are disagreed with an action that we take, we close their case, we reduce their benefits, they have the right to appeal. And basically, the management people handle those sorts of things. So primarily, it's management pieces that the state hasn't taken on. And the biggest piece would be that centralized document, that scanning piece. And that's something that the counties used to do, but the state said, we'll do this and we'll do it quickly. And it hasn't exactly worked out that way.
So the responsibilities they took away, different people did those as opposed to what the responsibilities they gave you now are.
Mm-hmm.
Now, are we planning, or is it the thought in the future when the state is up and running to their what they thought they were mm-hmm. going to be, mm-hmm. that some of the management might be cut back because of their duties being cut back from the state?
That's a possibility. And okay. And I don't want to get into a discussion of the 2013 budget, but it's something that's being explored even in the 2013 budget.
Okay. And another question it has, and I've never called into the call center or mm-hmm. anything. Is it automated at all? The computer where you call in, or are you on the phone and they tell you to hold, which might be automated, mm-hmm. and then as soon as you talk to someone, it's a person?
Yes.
Have we ever thought about being automated where if you need to talk to this department, press 1, press 2 to talk to this department, so it gets divided up?
It does.
It is partially automated at first.
Yes.
Okay.
And I don't have the number here in front of me, but you could even call. I could send you the number. You can call.
Well, I don't want to boost the numbers.
You can hear the automated piece. You can hear the automated piece. And one thing I would encourage you to do, because but one of the, you know, not to you know, say the state has done everything wrong, but one of the beauties of the call center now is, as management people, we have the ability to tap into the calls, and we can listen in without people even knowing we're listening in, so that we can do some QC, you know, to make sure that they're serving our customers and treating them respectfully and that sort of thing. And I would love for some of you to come and listen in like I listen in on some of the desperation. I mean, it would just be very eye-opening just to listen in on a few calls in terms of, you know, what the people are calling for and how long they're keeping people on the phone, because oftentimes they say, well, I've waited for 45 minutes. I'm going to get all my questions out. I want to make sure, you know, this, that, and the other. And some of the calls are just amazing, the way the workers handle the situations. And they're quite difficult, and they're quite angry. And why can't I have a worker? Why do I have to do this? And it's the way we do business now, and that's basically the message that they send to people, but it's challenging.
Because, I mean, sitting on hold for 25 minutes is a long time,
mm-hmm.
and there's no way we can automate that even further, so maybe our call times could be, or our wait times could be less, or pretty much we've gotten to the point where when they're waiting on that hold, they mm-hmm. need to talk to a person.
Yes, they need to talk to a person.
Okay.
And it's a state system. It's not our own system. It's a system that the state developed, and we have to utilize this particular system. But, yeah, that's their only option. They can't hang up and call again, but they'll be put on the back of the list. And some have done that, thinking that they'll get to the individual quicker that way, but it doesn't work that way.
Okay. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Supervisor Moshmero and then Supervisor Johnson.
Ma'am, I have a quick question.
Uh-huh.
When you have your page where you showed them, is Kenosha and Racine the only two that still have two independent call centers, or do you know if these other ones have joined also, these other ones listed in the state, these other regions?
Every single consortia has a different design, and I quite honestly don't know the specifics of each of the other call centers, but they do have more than one location. Many of them have more than one location, yes.
Because our call percentage here, answer rate, is the worst.
Exactly.
And on top of that, look at the first one. They've got 85% call response
mm-hmm.
with eight employees
mm-hmm.
with two-thirds of the workload that we do. And when you add your three new employees,
mm-hmm.
your number, 1,844, will
mm-hmm.
be the lowest caseload per employee.
Mm-hmm.
So that leads me to believe maybe you need two people and a little better system where we get this like the rest of the people in the state, because you are aiming for the smallest caseload per worker in the state. And you need a better response rate.
Exactly.
But then your employees have to be more efficient.
And
they don't match the rest of the state.
And might I add that the Western County Consortia is not an urban county. It's not
urban
like Racine.
Urban does have more problems. You're correct.
Yeah.
But there's got to be other urban ones in here, too.
The only other urban one I would say would be possibly Dane County. Possibly, but I'd say they're not as urban as Racine and Kenosha.
So
and
these are just urban ones, you're saying?
We are the most urban counties, Racine and Kenosha, are the two
mentioned.
Of these.
Okay.
Yes,
all right.
Yes,
that
we
makes
are.
More sense than to me.
Mm-hmm. And more problematic.
If I may, Milwaukee is not reflected here because it was
no.
taken over by the state entirely.
Correctly. Correct.
Is Madison in here?
Capital is Madison, and Madison is seven agencies, and most of them are rural. Madison would be the only urban entity included in the Capital Consortium. But yes, we recognize that we're doing poorly,
yeah.
and we're trying to address our poor performance before the state comes and gives us a corrective action plan. And the performance starts July 1, so we're trying to get ahead of that poor performance. We monitor this on a weekly basis, so we're well aware of how not so well we're doing.
Anything else, Supervisor Moshmero?
Yeah.
Supervisor Johnson?
Thank you. So I just need clarification.
Mm-hmm.
So what you're saying is it's not just caseload dependent?
Right.
Per area? It's also whether it's an urban or a rural?
It's workload dependent. Caseload does not equate to workload. You can have a large caseload, but if your people never call you, then your workload is not the same as a county like ours or Kenosha and Racine, where people are very transient. They're always moving.
Mm-hmm.
They're always getting jobs, quitting jobs, getting divorced, hooking up, having babies. I mean, these are the sorts of things that they're reporting. And, you know, I'm not trying to paint a poor picture of our particular area,
okay,
but that's what happens.
Case takes up more time.
Takes more time, depending
okay.
on, yes.
Okay. Back to what Supervisor Decker was mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
Can you just kind of quantify, you went over what the state's duties are going to be pulling
mm-hmm.
back,
mm-hmm.
but can you just kind of quantify, like, on an FTE basis, how it'll impact, like, FTEs when they do pull that back? If you say it's, like, 50% of one FTE, or
you know, like two FTEs? I mean, you went over kind of what they do, but I don't think you still have an idea of how it's actually going to impact FTE.
And I think my explanation had more to do with the management function.
Sure. So management-wise, mm-hmm. FTE full-time, are you talking one? Just in your best guess, when they take back their what they're proposing to pull out, mm-hmm. what do you think that would be?
It's hard to guess. Off the top of my head, I could guess perhaps one.
Okay. Is the state assuming three? Is that why we're three short from what their calculations say we should be at? Is the state assuming?
We're actually five short of what the state. Yeah. I think they've determined that we should have 38 FTEs to do.
33.
Right. Okay. And the document that I could share with you is one that the state and the counties work on together, and we go through every single type of case processing. There's about 50 different types of cases that can be processed. Mm-hmm. How long does it take to do this type of case? Maybe 15 minutes for that. How long does it take to do that type of case? Maybe 30 minutes for that. Mm-hmm. How long does it take to do this type of case? 45 minutes. How long does it take to do this kind of case? And so there's a whole analysis that they have done to come up with how many people they think would do the job efficiently and effectively.
The question was, are they giving you less? Mm-hmm. Are they paying out less headcount? Mm-hmm. Because they're assuming that when they pull it back, that's going to equate to those five FTEs. Is that why they've only given you 33?
They have, no.
I mean, because you said Racine actually has
43.
Yes, and that's the number that they're supposed to have for the state.
It's basically a local decision how many FTEs you want to fund, and that's why we're having this discussion. The state pays a portion, and then we pay a portion. That's why.
I have one last question. Mm-hmm. You were talking about programs that are going to come to an end next year. Is that indefinite, or is that still to offset the
programs? Aren't ending necessarily. Let me clarify what I said. The program isn't ending, but it won't be a county responsibility next year. It's not going to end. And depending on who does the program, they may or they will. They will fund part of the county operation, but we don't know how much that will be.
Okay, so that's
so
still
it won't be our function. Yeah, that's still up in the air.
Okay. All right, thank you.
Mm-hmm.
Are there any other questions from members of the committee? Any other supervisors present that have questions? Okay. The resolution is on the table.
Approve it.
Motion by Supervisor Ferger, second by Supervisor Johnson. All in favor of approval?
Aye.
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 Chair votes aye.
Mr. Chair. Can we request after 3 months of you being fully with the three new employees, come back to us and let us know how your numbers are mm-hmm. based on, in comparison to the other counties again,
sure.
so we can compare and see
sure.
if we're at the level or possibly we need more or possibly mm-hmm. less.
Mm-hmm.
Please.
And can I say 3 months after, may I kind of clarify, 3 months after the individuals have been trained?
Yes.
Because it takes 3 months, just so you know, for a worker to be trained.
Yes, I'm saying after they're up and running 100%.
Okay, with that clarification, yes.
Uh-huh. Well, we could also get in this package, the documents about the mm-hmm. state caseload size.
Certainly. You don't want the full analysis, I hope.
I might, but I don't think anybody else.
Several pages.
Paperless.
But yes.
You will too, right?
But yeah, that would be fine.
Okay, certainly.
So, yeah.
Good. Supervisor New.
Okay, if I understood that right, you say it's going to take 3 months to train a person. Mm-hmm. So if the person is hired in September, mm-hmm. before really they could start doing anything, it's going to be pretty much January 1st or close to it.
Possibly.
So if for any reasons, mm-hmm. we're not going to be able to fit this in the 2013 budget, whatever we're doing now, it's not going to really, it's a waste of money.
Right? No, it's not a waste of money if we're training them first and then putting them in the process and then giving it 3 months, as Supervisor Decker suggested, to see how it works out. Okay. I don't believe this.
I understand that, mm-hmm. but just in case, because by then the new budget will go in effect, mm-hmm. so if we're not going to be able to fund this position with the new budget, so this was really did not do any good at all.
But I think we'll be able to fund these positions in the new
budget. But there is the possibility that we don't.
There is always a possibility, but I believe we'll be able to maintain these positions in the new budget.
Oh, sorry. Okay. Supervisor Montemaro?
And just one quick question. Mm-hmm. Could someone call those other areas and find out if their call centers end up with more details so some of those people have, you know, their questions answered and hung up? Because it might be worth setting that up so your people have less calls.
Okay.
Because I have a feeling these people that are handling 3,600 cases per whatever, mm-hmm. they have a better call machine than you do. I think that some of their questions are being answered, especially if a lot of the calls do not end up in cases, like your ratios there. You know, ratio calls to cases is 45% worse. They're worse than you are. Mm-hmm. So my gut feeling is they have a better way of getting these people's questions answered without making someone wait 25 minutes and then tell them, oh, by the way, all you had to do was this. So it's worth looking. Might
Certainly.
Save us some money.
We're all using the same system.
All the same questions? Well, and then there's my answer. Thank you.
I think the volume and the type of questions that they're calling about. That's what I think.
Supervisor Decker?
Just really quick, mm-hmm. since now we know it takes approximately 3 months to train someone, are these employees that we have hired, do they stay on for a while, or is this?
Yes, unless they don't pass the probation period. But we've not had that issue. Racine has had an issue more of people not passing the probation period, but ours tend to stay. Our workers tend to stay.
Okay, thank you.
Mm-hmm. Vice Chairman Kubicki.
As you spoke earlier, Mrs. Green, you did mention that promotion of a senior area. The difficulty of the question seemed to be a little more explicit than the other areas mm-hmm. that we're actually combining or having our surveys with, correct?
Correct.
Mm-hmm. So that's why we have a tendency to stay on the phone longer with a particular individual in the Racine and Kenosha.
Correct.
Versus some of these other areas that we're
talking about. Would be correct. They can get their callers off the phone much quicker than we can.
Any other further questions? Okay. Is there any other business authorized by law? Thank you, Ms. Green.
Thank you.
Committee member comments? Supervisor Crowley.
As we've already looked at, the next budget's going to be a very difficult one. Can we start at least talking about it for our next meeting? And maybe get an idea, maybe do a review of the 2012 and see how it could be different, because that way we're not looking at the budget just one night, we're actually looking at multiple nights.
Can I make a suggestion? Because the budget is quite large, especially for our committee. What I've been doing is looking at it on my own, and maybe we could have a certain amount of time where we could ask questions or bring things up about it here instead of reviewing the whole entire thing together.
I want us at least start discussions.
Absolutely.
However we did it is fine by me.
Yeah, absolutely.
Would you like to repeat the questions on the stage tomorrow?
Just basically starting looking over, because there are new supervisors, and instead of doing the budget just in October, we start looking at different aspects, using last year's as a gateway to 2013. So the questions that will come up that night, we'll be having a better idea of what we're looking at then.
It's my understanding that we work on that 2013 budget all the way up to the funding exercise in October. I can certainly review 2012's budget.
That's what I thought.
Absolutely.
That's what I thought we could start doing.
I would be more than happy to do that.
Is at least getting an idea of the 2012 budget.
What's in there?
Why things have happened that way?
Sure.
We'll have an understanding why things are happening as they are in 2013.
Absolutely, yeah. I mean, I can talk about 2012 till the council.
That may be a bit long.
Just give me a PowerPoint and I can
go. Supervisor Decker.
And at the same time, when you're presenting the issues with the income maintenance, present about the problems we face with the state of Wisconsin and the cuts there and things like that. So I know we're fine for 2013, but come 2014, we might have some big problems, and I think it would be wise for us to think about that and discuss it a year in advance instead of waiting until 2014.
Yeah, I can say the same thing we did, because we brought that up in 2012. So I can certainly repeat that.
Thank you.
Absolutely.
Any other committee member comments?
Motion to adjourn.
Motion to adjourn by Supervisor Newbold, seconded by Supervisor Pritchard. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye. Aye.